And he did say quite a lot. And the first thing he said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And of course, that's 2 Corinthians 3. Okay. And then he said, you guys are forgetting the name of your church, which is Freedom Worship Center. And he said, that name was given by me. I gave that name. And that was a long time ago, of course. But he said, do not forget every time you walk through that door what that means. Sorry. And so he's giving us a big reminder that every time we walk through the door, we need to remember the name of our church, not forget it. And he said, you need to pray that no spirits that of oppression, depression, silencing, all that, will come against what I have named. Okay, and so I think we do need to remember that. And what Pastor Mac would like to do, or make any plans to for us to remember it more. Okay, that will be what you think. If there should be, you know, some kind of formal dedication again, I don't know. But anyway, God was speaking that, and very, very strongly. Okay, and that's pretty much what I wanted to say. I'd like to read that scripture, if I could. Okay, so it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, the Lord is spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So anyway, that was the scripture and pretty much what God was saying.
We will be sharing more regarding that, but I believe what the Lord was saying to me, which I said to Judy, was he's saying, remain true to the vision. You know, only God can birth a vision with provision. See, there can be a vision without provision, and it amounts to nothing. With all we've been through, and we've been through a lot in this house, we are still here. We are still here, and He is still here. His presence is still here. You understand the significance of that? How awesome that is? So I know that He's going to be speaking more, but I encourage you to go on the website and look at the vision once again. Meditate on the vision. Read the vision. Plug in to the vision, because everybody has a role to play in the fulfillment of the vision of this house. It's not about me. It's not about the elder team. It's not about a man. It's about a body. Well, I'm going to pray for you this morning because I believe the word he's given me, again, woken up a few weeks ago in the middle of the night, gladly, when he has something to say to me, I'm not going to roll over and say, speak to me in the morning. So, I'm going to pray that you don't process this word through your mind. It will profit you nothing. Pray that you will process it through the Spirit of the living God that lives within you. Therein is your salvation. Therein is your hope. Therein is your provision for aligning or realigning with the vision. And bridging the gap in the house so that we can be more of a force to be reckoned with in this day. God has some awesome plans that are yet to be fulfilled. I've seen it, I believe it, and I will live to see the day that these things which have been prophesied that were in God's heart will become a reality. God's people said, amen. Well, let's get started. I've got a lot to share this morning. You know, I almost think that God wants to entitle the message Divine Interruptions. I was in the shower this morning, getting ready to come, and the Lord began to speak to me again, something related to this word. Romans 5, verses 1 to 5 is where we're going. It'll be up there, but some of you like to read it in your own translation. But what I saw or what I received was, you know, it wasn't that long ago that football season and the Super Bowl, which is now in the rearview mirror, but it wasn't that long ago. And there's one or two football fans in the house, ladies and gents. But what I saw was, you know, the offense was lining up on the line of scrimmage. Scrimmage is a place of conflict where you're facing the opposition. And so the team was lining up and they recognized what they had planned was not going to fly. And so what I saw was the coach on the sideline, and you know, you've seen it, in the helmet there's a mic, and the quarterback's getting fresh signals from the coach. Our coach is who? Holy Spirit. And so we have to be ready to adjust. We have to be ready to lay down what we think God was doing, and then now enter into what God, in fact, is doing. It's crucial, especially in these days, the challenges that we're facing. And if we don't make those adjustments, we're not going to succeed. We're not going to get a TD, as they say. We're not going to hit pay dirt. And so I just encourage you to continue to yield to that still small voice of Holy Spirit. It is the only voice you should be listening to. The voice of life, the voice of truth. The voice that aligns itself with Father God in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, constant relationship and exchange. Well, a few weeks ago, when I was awakened in the middle of the night, I heard these words and the scripture. Walking in the pathway of promise. Now, my natural mind would have said, walking in promises, plural. But that's not what the Spirit said. And immediately I was directed to Romans 5:5, and we'll get there. So let's read the scripture and then just dive in to what God has prepared for us this morning. Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also exult, any volunteers, in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, the character of Jesus Christ. And proven character, hope. And hope, here's that verse, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Glory to his matchless name. So God has provided, if I could say it this way, a predetermined plan or pathway for you to follow. And with that plan, he's provided provision and power as well for you to live it out. Philippians 2:12, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, always staying connected, always being mindful of who you serve, who saved you, who fills you, who provides for you in your darkest hour. And, you know, our worship lineup was so telling this morning. It paved the way, or the pathway, if you will, to the message. And I was, as I was looking at the team, each one in recent weeks has been experiencing hardship and disappointment. And yet, there they were, worshiping the King. There they were, yielding themselves to Almighty. Such a testimony, such a blessing to see. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work. It's work God's doing in you. But it's for what? For his good pleasure. For his purposes, if you will. To fulfill the plan that he has ordained for you, even while you were still in the womb, he knew the plans he had for you. Plans for a future and a hope, Jeremiah 29:11. Plans that you would succeed, that you would fulfill that plan by faith that he predetermined for your life. The Passion reads that verse this way. Now you must continue to make this to work for his good pleasure. Now you must continue to make this new life manifested in you in the holy awe of God. And I would add, God will do his part, that's covenant, but we are called to do our part and submit to and be guided by Holy Spirit into our own promised land. And I was thinking about when, well, first of all, it wasn't God's favored route in the wilderness for 40 years for the nation of Israel. But because they wouldn't listen, because they wanted to do things their way, what would have taken a matter of a few days took 40 years. And you can see, it's mapped out. If you want to look at it online, it's like, oh my goodness. Talk about going around the mountain 40 times. 40 years. But the thing was, Israel had a promise. They had a promised land. God spoke provision and his plan, and they knew what it was because it was spoken by him. Yet, they refused to go in and possess it. And they paid the price. You can also read in the Bible that all those, in those 40 years, they all died in the wilderness without experiencing or entering into that promise. It was their children who were the beneficiaries and those who experienced the promise and the promised land. So, you have your own promised land. God's plan directs you to your promised land as well. But you have to choose to listen. You have to choose to then go in and possess what is your God-ordained, God-provided promised land. And then live in it. So, we know the story of Joshua and Caleb and the 10 spies. They went in and they saw this was good. This was a land of milk and honey. And yet, instead of focusing on the Word of God, instead of focusing on the promise of God, they focused on the giants in the land. That was their choice. Focus on the giants. Were there giants? Absolutely. Was that true? Absolutely. But was God greater? And does God's word ever return void? No, never. And so Caleb said this, Numbers 13:30, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. That's faith. Numbers 13:30? Hope I did. Numbers 14:9, because their protection is removed from them. Do not fear them. In other words, have faith. You could say it that way. Instead of don't have fear, say have faith. And one of the songs I heard in my spirit as I was preparing yesterday, not really sure the author of it from what I was looking at, but I remember this back in the early 90s. It says, we are able to go up and take the country and possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be there to hinder, our God has given us the victory. And you know, you got to sing that. You have to declare that over your circumstances. When mountains loom high And you know, I was watching a movie last night, and it was the Canadian Rockies. I don't know if anybody of you have ever seen them, but they make, in a sense, the American Rockies look like molehills. They are so huge and majestic. And you know, sometimes your mountains, your giants, appear bigger than they really are. Until you start declaring the Word of God, till you start telling it like it is, telling it like God says it is, and not what your circumstances are telling you. That's why we need to know the Word of God. That's why we need to, when you know it, it's available in your spirit to be used as ammunition when you're tempted to deviate or disobey what you know to be true, what you know to be what God said. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. It's so easy to get overwhelmed when you see the resistance, when you see the reasons why you can't do it, but there's a much bigger reason why you can do it. Him, the one who stands beside you, the one who never leaves you or forsakes you. Psalm 62, verse 12. Through God we shall do valiantly. It is He who will tread down your enemies. You know, we sang that this morning about the battle. Now, God goes before us, and He's also our rear guard. He's there right in the midst of things. But we have to decide to call upon His name, His provision and His power. Walking in the pathway of promise. Any road will get you there if you don't know where you're going. True. But if you know where you're going, no power of hell can stand against you or prevent you from getting there. Because God's on your side, and God before you, who can be against you? Seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit will reveal the way, and you will hear Isaiah 30:21 or something similar. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." Do you know when God speaks something, all the provision is released? It's not just a mere word. It releases power and provision to fulfill that which He speaks. So how are we going to walk and stay true to the Lord on this pathway of promise? Number one, faith. Verses 1 and 2. It says there, we are justified by faith, or we've been given an introduction. You know, when I read that phrase, we've been given an introduction to the faith, that means I'm going to need more faith later on to complete the mission. Yesterday's faith is not sufficient for tomorrow's challenges. And so I need to cry out to God for more faith. That's not sinful. That's just the reality, knowing that He will provide for tomorrow, the faith that I need to face tomorrow's challenges. You have no idea what you're going to face tomorrow. But I guarantee you, if you will call upon Him, the faith, whatever faith you need, is going to be released by the power of the risen Christ, by the power of the cross and the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. I was, and it won't be too long, I know. Spring is right around the corner. But I was seeing, as I was preparing, have you ever, particularly if you go up to New Hampshire in the spring or Maine, places like that, but here too, sometimes you want to cross a stream, like if you're in like one of these nature preserves, but because of the abundance of the water of the season, what may not have been a stream or a dried up one in the summertime is flowing pretty briskly. And so what I saw was stepping stones so that I could get across to the other side. And that's the way God provides for us. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He has steps of faith planned out for us to get to the other side when we see or we think there's no way. This is impossible. This is hopeless. But he provides the faith when you trust him to take you to the place he's provided and promised. He's not a man that he should lie. He won't say something to you and then not back it up in word, power, and provision. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Faith is the assurance or substance of things hoped for, the conviction or evidence of things not seen. That's why they call it faith. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need him, and you certainly wouldn't need faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, lay aside, this is our part, every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. You know, there's a, I love it when the stuff that's not in my notes, but I'm remembering now the logo for Wounded Warriors, which is a great organization, and there's a soldier, and he's like this. He's getting his fellow soldier and taking him out of the battle, one that has been disabled or wounded. And this is what God does. We will take hits for the king. You are naive if you think you won't. If you are living for him, you are going to know the reality of resistance, spiritual resistance. It's just a fact. So don't let it take you by surprise. That's why you need to stay grounded in the faith. Stay committed to prayer. Always ready to receive new signals from the Holy Spirit. You need to determine to keep moving forward when trials or obstacles come that will stand in your way. Giants will be in your promised land. I'm sorry to be the bearer of that news, but it is the truth. There will be giants. There will be things that need to be overcome. But through him, the Bible says, you can do valiantly. Psalm 60, verse 12. It is he who treads down your enemy or adversary. So, you need to face those giants, as hard as it may be at times, and dispossess them. It's not their territory. It's not their land. It's your God-given promised land. You need to stick to your guns and tell and speak the word of God how it is, not how it appears, how it really is. God has given me this, and he's given me the authority to say it and go in and take it. Take back what the locusts have stolen, the Bible says. They just keep nibbling away. And I got another song, Richie Mullins. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise thee. Step by step, you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. With your help, of course. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 12, you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. That's the second thing that you and I need to stay on the path of promise. From verse 1 in Romans 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. His peace will be present in your pathway of promise. That's how you know it's Him. That's how you know this is the way, walk ye in it. It's a witness in your spirit. You have His peace. If you don't have His peace, do not do it. That's a very smart rule that will keep you on the straight and narrow, as they say. We all know the song. It is well with my soul. Verse 1. When peace like a river attendeth my way, He has taught me to say, it is well. God is good. It is well with me and my soul. Heard it this way. His peace is one of the guideposts on your pathway of promise. So look for it. In fact, expect it. Because His peace goes before you. It's one of the things that is meant to guide us. No Jesus, no peace. Isaiah 48, 17 and 18. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you, what? In the way you should go. If only you had paid attention. To my commandments, then your well-being or your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Jesus said in the Gospel of John 14:27, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. That won't last. It'll be momentary. But when you have His peace, it's forever. It rests within you. It rests upon you. And I might add, people recognize that. When you walk into the room, the atmosphere is one of peace because you're carrying His peace. Romans 14, 17 to 19. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and men, and approved by men. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Keep pursuing the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9. He himself is our peace, Ephesians 2:14. Let that sink in. Now, sometimes your troubles or your challenges don't just disappear. But you need to stand firm. You need to speak his word. You need to rise up in faith. And in due time, what? You shall reap. The Bible says, if you don't grow weary. Keep walking on the pathway of promise. Number three, very important component to keep you on the straight and narrow, grace. God's grace. Romans 5, verse 2. By faith into this grace in which we stand. I don't know where I would be, and I know where you would be without his grace, if I could say it that way. You certainly wouldn't be here listening to this word. The pathway of promise is paved with grace, he said. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. By grace you have been saved. Through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift. You understand that salvation is a gift? The Bible tells us so. Not as a result of works, so that no man could boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand. So that we should what? Walk in them. It's all part of his plan. It's not that there won't be trials or tribulations or testings, but it's all mapped out. That's the challenge of this life, to identify and then possess them. Walk it out. And you will experience the goodness of God, by the way, and the favor of God along the way, along this pathway of promise. Ephesians 1:11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. I like how the Passion renders this verse. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. You can take that to the bank, as they say. God doesn't make mistakes. He called you and I to be victorious, to be more than conquerors, as it says in the book of Romans, through him who loved us. His grace enables you to stay the course, keep moving forward in faith when it seems hopeless or impossible. Grace says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, it's about time some of you, or all of you, myself included, start speaking to those mountains in your life. He's given you authority to do so. In fact, he's given you scripture and verse. He says, him who believes and speaks to that mountain to move and be cast into the sea, guess what? There she goes. No longer there. You have the authority to speak to those things. It's called spiritual authority in Christ. It's a package deal. It comes with salvation. And grace also agrees with this. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for power, my power, is perfected in weakness, or your weakness. So we need to stand on his grace, and it will assure you victory in him and for him. You know, I don't know what else he has planned for my life, but I know when it comes, I'll be ready for it. I'll have the faith for it. I'll have the grace for it. I'll have the peace for it. And I'll also have the hope for it. Point number four. Because 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who always, always, always leads us in his triumph in Christ. It says in our text, Romans 5, verse 2, we exult in hope of the glory of God. This one's for you, Joe. The Amplified. So now, wait a minute. Let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. That's the Amplified rendering there. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful, is always faithful. He makes good on his promises. So the Passion renders that verse, Hebrews 10:23, so now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Yeah. He's a faithful God. He's a good God. And in our text, double grace, Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint. Romans 10:11, quoting Isaiah 28:16, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. In other words, will not be without hope. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And so, if you feel like you're losing hope, you probably have strayed from his plan, his paths, in some way. Get back on your knees. Get back in communication with him and find out what it is. And it's okay. You know, we are going to mess up. That's a reality. But there is forgiveness, there is cleansing, there is a renewing that comes when we fess up and when we are willing to admit we've fallen short. Like a tire that has a slow leak, God knows how to pump fresh hope into you and get you rolling again. God has a sense of humor. You know that, right? You know you're going to get what I get. So there it is. He knows how to get you rolling again. Don't stray from the pathway of promise, and you won't lose hope. Keep walking on the pathway of promise. And number five, his love. God's love is amazing love. Ooh, where would I be? Well, first of all, I'm 100% sure I'd be dead. By my choices, by the path that I had planned for myself, I would not be here fulfilling God's purpose and plan for my life. But God, as they say. It says in verse Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. His love will always sustain you, will always build you up, will always give you renewed vision and strength. Ephesians 1:13-14. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's truth. God did it. Best decision you ever made or could ever make is receiving Christ. The Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, who is given as a pledge or a down payment, really would be the literal way of saying that, of your inheritance. You know, God accepts you right where you are. That is amazing to me. With all our sin, all our baggage. But then, through his peace, his love, his grace, all these things, he takes us where we need to go. We don't get there. We don't say, I did this. We shouldn't. We should say, God did this. God got me where I am today. Second Corinthians 5:5, there it is again, double grace. The Holy Spirit given as a pledge or a promise of his unfailing love. Because 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. There, I would say it this way, his love is there when you need it the most. When you are at the end of your rope, only he and his love can sustain you, give you fresh hope, fresh faith, fresh determination and strength. To keep going, keep fighting, keep believing. The Passion renders that verse, love never stops loving. So we need, this probably is true for some of you today, and I certainly will remain behind, and some of the elders or the healing room team also. Depending on how many. You need to get your love tank filled today and every day. You know, it's obvious to me when my love tank is depleted. I am downright nasty and out of sorts. And everyone around me knows it, including me. So, there's only one filling station that's worth its weight in gold. And there's only one agent. That's the Holy Spirit, which sets it up to pour in to overflowing. The only source that satisfies and keeps you on the pathway of promise. Final song I received for the message, and I am closing by his grace. I had a lot to share there. song that says, cause me to come to thy river, O God. Cause me to come to thy river, O God. Cause me to come to thy river, O God. Cause me to come. Cause me to drink. Cause me to live. It's the only life worth living. It's the only water worth drinking, that which he supplies. God bless you today and every day as you continue to yield to him and be more determined than ever to stay on his pathway of promise. God bless you.